In a nutshell, when Sarah and I first moved over here to Queensland, we started with the one grazing block, and then when we bought our house property, we started growing these sprouts to finish our cattle on. And you know, the idea of that originally was just to avoid any of that climatic, you know, seasonal sort of change, you know, with the dry winters. And we were trying to get fat cattle all year round. And what we basically found was, you know, once we started sending cattle off to be MSA graded, that we were breeding pretty phenomenal cattle, and the way we were fattening and finishing them, you know, we had a product where we weren't really tapping into the, you know, to the full value of it. And and so then we started looking at the retail side of it, and I guess that's, you know, the freehold shop come up onto the market, and so we started looking more seriously at it.
What kind of challenges do you face going from your experience in the paddock to producing a product for the plate?
Well, I mean, as far as, you know, being a cattleman, nothing much changes. You know, everything we do, whether it's through our mineral supplements or whatever it might be in the paddock, has stayed the same. We've fine-tuned a few things with our feeding program, the way we're fattening our cattle, you know, just so that we can meet more of the requirements of what our consumers want as far as, you know, avoiding any grain products and things like that. So essentially our cattle are grazed on grass and they're finished on barley sprouts. With the sprouts, we mix that with a bit of hay and silage that we grow on our home property, and outside of a bit of molasses, you know, to get them onto it. There's no other additives. So essentially it's still grass-fed, you know, with an emphasis on the barley sprouts.
Have you seen this type of operation done before?
Oh, look, I haven't firsthand. There's talk about it. You know, Sarah and I, we've been growing sprouts for the last 5 years. It started off as a hobby, just as a way to feed some cattle and some horses back in the Northern Territory. And, you know, I could see the real value in it because we weren't feeding anything else other than the sprouts and everything was, you know, gaining weight. And so coming over here, we just took that to a larger scale. So we're now producing a tonne and a half of barley sprouts each day. And, you know, we've got a 300-acre property on the house farm, and it's absolutely no hard work at all to run 150 head all year round on feed. So, you know, I think the sprouts are paying dividends as far as being a producer, and then when it comes to the eating quality of the meat, you know, it's tenfold on top of anything as a comparison.
You've had the shop opened for 4 weeks, Shane. I think I'll come to you now as the manager. You're not a butcher by trade. How did Rob convince you to go in with him on this shop?
Yeah, Kelly, my family come down to visit Rob, I suppose, middle of last year, just as a holiday with the kids. We've known Rob for, I suppose, the best part of 15 to 20 years now, and he said to me one day while we were down here, "Do you want to come and have a look at this butcher shop?" And I said, "Yeah, right, yeah." And so time went on. We had a look at the butcher shop. It looked quite nice and needed a bit of work to it. But and then Rob calls me about 2 or 3 months later and says, "I think I'm going to buy that butcher shop. What do you think?" And I said to Rob, "What do you know about butchering?" He said, "About as much as you, but with our two heads together, we could probably make a go of it." So it sort of started from there, you know, and then I'm not a butcher by trade, but I worked on the land for the first 12 years of my working life, and part of that involved going out to the paddock and shooting a beast and doing a killer and cutting it up and taking it back to the station, you know. So the idea of it, I was overwhelmed that Rob said to me, "Would you like to come down and we'll start this business?" And I said, "Yeah."
So you get all of your beef and lamb from Rob and some of your chicken and pork products from other places around the district. How important is that local focus in what you're trying to achieve here?
Yeah, look, Rob and I, we're very passionate about, and Rob's, I always say, Rob's the mastermind behind the beef that's coming into the shop. So he can get it down to a fine art where that product's tender and it's got marble in it and people really enjoy the product. So we're very passionate about putting a product out there that people, when they eat it, it means something to them, you know. I mean, we had a customer come through a couple of days ago that lives in Brisbane and bought a whole rump, and this morning I had a phone call from his wife saying, you know, that rump that my husband picked up, it was absolutely amazing. And we're going to use you guys as our supplier now. So, I mean, people that live 4 or 5 hours away saying that, and even the feedback from the local people here has been phenomenal, you know. So it just gives us a little pat on the back that the local community, you know, have that respect to come and try a new butcher, and that the product that we're putting out is really tasty and to the highest of quality.
What do you think it says about demand for food that people can appreciate but also understand and have an experience with and get to know, not just the guy that runs the shop but also the guy that breeds the cattle?
You know, when customers come in, a lot of them have asked, you know, where does the beef come from and is it local beef? And I tell them the story, you know, where it's come from when it was born right through to when it gets fattened on the fattening block there at Rob's place, and then when it goes to the slaughterhouse and back to the butcher shop. And people have got that 5 or 10 minutes to wait. I mean, I talk with a mouthful of marbles underwater, but people stick around just to hear that story, to know that, you know, we're getting local beef from a local family that's got a local business, and they're coming back, you know, so they're just looking for local products.
What's it like going into business with someone you've known for 20 years?
Oh, it's just like going rodeoing again with him, you know. I mean, we get to see each other, I suppose, when we were rodeoing, we get to see each other 3 days a week, but now we get to see each other 7 days a week, you know. And yeah, look, Rob and I, have, like I said, we've known each other for the best part of 15 to 20 years, and every night we get home and we discuss little things about the shop, what happened in the shop today, and then we'll just talk in general discussion, you know. But it's just good to be able to, I can bounce stuff off Rob and Rob can bounce stuff back to me, and you know, I think we've got a really good team going with a good system and a good product.
Rob, I know that technology's played a huge part in your operation in Queensland. Have you brought that same focus into the shop?
Yeah, we have. Look, I know, you know, on the land, the labour component of being a farmer's, you know, one of the biggest expenditures, and so I basically brought that mindset into the butcher shop. You know, we've implemented equipment and hardware in the back of the shop that makes the job a lot easier, and I know the butchers that we've got here, they love working here, you know, because everything's right there at the fingertips. So as far as bringing that technology in, yeah, definitely. You know, something that we're working on now is being able to give that lifetime traceability right through from where the animal is, where it's born, to, you know, every time it gets a, you know, a supplement, to when it's fattened, to when it's slaughtered, right through to when it's a steak on a plate, so that people can trace that back through. And I've got some smart people in the background working on some QR codes so that we can, you know, use their smartphones to identify exactly what animal that steak came from. So yeah, technology is definitely going to be a big part in the future of our butcher shop.
How much of this has been about being able to tap into the benefits of controlling your own supply chain?
Yeah, look, it's a huge component. You know, Sarah and I, when we first came over and we settled in and put the kids in school and we had time to sit down and take a breath, you know, we knew we had to look beyond the farm gate and fully integrating our business, the best thing we've done, because like you say, we're in control of this, you know, the full supply chain. We're in talks at the moment putting in our own processing plant, so therefore we won't have, you know, any outside influence on our product whatsoever. It's a huge part, you know. It's not necessarily about controlling the prices, it's controlling the product. And when we're breeding for a purpose and we can follow that and monitor that and fine-tune that right through to when our consumers are enjoying, you know, dinner with their family, well, that's basically what it all comes down to.
Do you think this is something that more graziers should investigate in terms of being able to see those benefits and have that relationship with their customers and get value for the product they produce?
Yeah, definitely. You know, there's always been talk about, you know, benchmarking prices, and whether it's a feedlot or a processor or Woolies or Coles, you know, every farmer would love that ability to be able to control the prices a little bit more. You know, this is one way of doing it, and I know it's always been a hot topic, but it always comes down to opportunity and you know, whether or not it's a viable option. And we were just lucky that things fell in our lap, and you know, we had a 5 or 6 year plan coming over here, and we've only been here 2 years and everything's sort of just falling into place. So, you know, it's working at the moment, we'll keep rolling with it.
Must be tempting though when you see the prices coming through the sale yards, looking at that fat cattle in your paddocks.
Oh, look, it is. It's tough, you know, when you... We sell Brahman steers down to Dinmore for $6 a kilo on the hook, you know, and you're not getting much more than that putting it through the butcher shop. But at the end of the day, you know, it comes back to our foundations, and I was raised, you know, really out at Supplejack, you know, and it's always been a focal point or a talking point about where our meat comes from and being able to enjoy that steak that we bred. And, you know, we've always grown up around that idea that... you know, we know where our beef comes from. And so essentially, you know, we're just trying to take that same mindset and instill it into Bundaberg and hopefully give people the confidence that they know where their product's coming from and, you know, how it's raised and where it's processed and the end product that they're buying.